are now listening to Not a Faithful Radio, the show hosted by a faithful for the faithful, exclusively on Radio AFS.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Not a Faithful. I'm glad you're tuned in today. Hope everyone had a blessed week. And as always, I got a great show planned for y'all. I'm going to go ahead and break down Niners-Eagles. And if we got some time, I'm going to go ahead and get into Niners-Cardinals for this coming up week. And, of course, we're going to take your phone calls and texts as well. We got a couple texts already on the text line. I'm going to go ahead and give you the number to call in. It's 646-668-8467. And the number to text in is 408-755-3. I always say that. It's written down too. 408-755-0030. There we go. And also, if you would like to advertise your business page, event, GoFundMe page, whatever type of thing you got going on, on Niner Faithful Radio, Radio AFS has advertising packages for as little as $25 a month. Go ahead and email me at ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com for more info. What's cracking, everybody? How y'all doing? What a day. What a game. What a year. So, you know, we are making Niner history. Not the right type. So, first Niner team ever. In the 71 seasons we've been a football team. First Niner, or 72 seasons. Wait, 46, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. 72 seasons that we've played football. No team has ever gone 0-8 except this one. That literally means the year is halfway over, and we have not got one win.
Yes, because of the injuries.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, the injuries, for those who don't know, that is our voice of our producer, co-host, random secret producer that shall remain nameless.
Well, I want to know, why is Joe Staley out for eye injury?
He got his face broken. This part right here, you know what I'm saying? You're basically, your eye socket was broken. Yeah, this part of his eye, the lower part of his eye is broken. It could be upper. It's either upper or lower, but basically his face, the bone, the eye socket, I guess you could say. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know the technical medical term for it. You know what? Let me see. Yeah, my were so crappy. I was nodding in and I was sleeping then, so I didn't remember.
Yeah.
Taking my notes. Oh, my notes are so crappy. Oh, well, I got the Niners page up right now, so let me go ahead and see.
He sustained a gag under his left eye.
No.
Oh, it says it right here.
I know, I'm telling you. What?
Under his left eye.
Maybe let's go to six takeaways from this. It says it right here. No, it didn't, actually. Yeah, it says it right there.
It was on a pick six.
Yeah, I know. It was on the pick six, and he went out. Joe Staley was heated. From what the Niners say, and anybody that you talk to with the Niners say, it was a cheap shot.
Oh, yeah, of course.
S-C-A. I'm looking it up right now. We're going to go ahead and, oh, wow. It's not going to let me search. You know what? Let me do this. Um,
this one looked all right. I hope they can hear you, because if the people can't hear you, then this is really weird, because I'm having a conversation with myself and somebody that nobody can hear. I mean, Witherspoon gave up a long touchdown.
But over this year,
he got his first pick.
Yeah.
He started over Rashard Robinson. That's here in the notes. But really, what needs to happen is really he needs to learn how to turn and look for the football. So.
From him being at 7 years for a start. That one, that's not. I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
Now it's Jimmy right there.
Well, I mean, he just needs to turn around and look for the football. I mean, you know, and he would have been in position to knock it away or something like that. So while I go ahead and look for this, let me just go ahead and, I mean, doable. Two sacks yesterday, and we went ahead and sacked him. Mitchell had the other one. Matt Breida was our leading receiver with 4 catches for 39 yards. And Carlos Hyde also had 4 catches for 22 yards. So it was targeting the running backs a lot. That's because we had a lot of screens set up, and we were trying to, you know, keep the pass rush off of us because we had that makeshift offensive line. I mean, the offensive line ended up being Jane Beto. Left tackle and an undrafted rookie, Eric Magnuson, at right tackle. You know?
Yeah.
So, what? I mean, I'll tell you right now, Zane Beatles, he actually ended up having to play right tackle too. But he played 51 out of, we got 51 out of 66 snaps. So he literally only didn't play 15 snaps of the game. So Staley, it ended up being equivalent of 25% of our snaps. But, There you go. That's exactly what I was looking for. Okay, so we were 3 of 15 on third down. Didn't happen to say what the Eagles were. I believe the Eagles were 3 of 8. Okay. Thank you, Super Duper Producer Extraordinaire.
It just says right here, a whole converted 3.
So. Okay. I hope y'all can hear that. Like I have to listen back to this the podcast tonight and see if we can hear you. Because if we can't hear you, then it's really no point in you being here. If we can't hear you, I mean, except for, you know, you doing the stats work up tonight that I haven't forgotten.
I believe this is 49. I'm looking at this. It's 49.
Yeah.
What article is that on? Because I'm on the website right now. Oh, man. Wow, I was just reading an article and I didn't see it.
All right.
Well, I'm trying to find something out about Joe Staley's injury, and it's not. Let me see if I can click on a little review of his press conference. Maybe that might give us something. But it's a broken, basically, for lack of medical word, lack of medical. Okay. Doosable?
Yeah.
That's the dude who had 2 sacks that I was just talking about. That was a nice pass right there. I know I'm doing the show. I'm trying to look something up. I can't see anything about Joe Staley's injury, but it's like I know for a fact that they believe it's some type of broken eye socket. Like basically from what I understand, for not knowing the technical term, it's a broken eye socket.
Yeah, I was on the left eye.
Yeah, okay. So it's this part right up here, his eye is broken.
So that's as far as I know. That's how I've heard.
Well, yeah, they said he might miss, you know, a couple weeks. Earl Mitchell went in the backfield and blew and missed the tackle.
Why did I get a message from you?
Read it. So, I'm on that. You know what? How long have we been on there? No, we can't take a break yet. So, also I found it interesting. Matter of fact, actually, I'm glad I'm on this right now because I want to look this up. I saw that on the block field goal, wasn't his fault, but on the block field goal, before Buckner was basically like, you know, the end man on the field goal team. So I thought that was really interesting. Well, he said it says right here he played 8 special teams now. We only scored on 2 possessions, so that obviously means that he was playing some special teams beyond field goal and PAT unit. But I was listening to this injury list that we lost. Jimmy Ward, done for the year, broken forearm. DJ Jones, nothing has been released. Shanahan's press conference is at 4. So right after the show, how convenient is that? You can listen to Niner Faithful Radio, and then right after, listen to Kyle Shanahan's press conference. What? I don't know the play. I can't remember the play that it was on. I'll tell you exactly. Gary Gillum, I believe it was at me. Hold on, I'm getting to that. I'm going through the injury list right now. I'll tell you how long Jimmy Ward played. Jimmy Ward played... I'm on the snap count right now. Bless you.
The power of the Lord, bless you.
So he played 15... Wow. He only played 15 snaps. And went on special teams. So yeah, he didn't play that long. I mean, I could really figure out where exactly he went out because I could count, you know, 15 plays that, you know, the Eagles on offense. I could count 15 plays. So I could figure it out. This is something that, you know, I believe it was sometime in the second quarter. B.J. Jones went out. They didn't say what specified that. B.J. Jones? Oh, they updated it.
Yeah, it's right here.
Okay. Solomon Thomas is an MCL sprain, so he's going to miss some time. Yeah, MCL sprain. Gary Gillum, who you were asking about, I believe it's his knee.
Yeah. 3D injury in the forearm.
Yeah, and then Joe Stavry is, you know. See, I thought he was coming back. When,
of all these players that are injured, these 5, I could see Joe Staley coming back earlier. It's only an eye injury. And provided he has his helmet on and keeps that protected, it's nothing major like an arm or leg injury.
Well, I mean, this is the thing about it is that they have to realistically ask himself if is a left tackle of the future on the roster right now. I wouldn't think so. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't think so. But, you know, you never know. So, you know, see, because one of the reasons why, you know, Harbaugh was so reluctant, you know, to put cap in a lot of times and everything was because it was thought because of practice the cap wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? And lo and behold, he got in the game and, you know, we all know what happened. So... my thing about it is if there's somebody that you want to try at left tackle, whether that's Trent Brown or somebody on the roster, practice squad, whatever, and you say, hey, you know what, let's give this person a shot to see if maybe they are left tackle in waiting. Or Trent Brown, because the idea is Trent wants to make left tackle money.
So, and there's some people who believe that when Justin Lee retires, he'll just slide into left tackle. Well, if we want to see if that's a viable option, we'll have to, if we want to see if that's a viable option,
he needs to play,
whoever that particular person is.
So, why don't we do this? What do you think? Take a real quick break.
Yeah, I lost my shirt.
All right, we'll go ahead and take a real quick break. I need to find something. Yeah, you know what? Why don't we just go ahead and play this? You're listening to Niner Fan Radio on Radio AFX.
This is home. This is home. This is home. Upper reserves in the very top. Sidelines to the lower block. See ya. My tailgaters in the main lot. On a quest for six and it don't stop. Go. Now once that fog rolls in and you feel them strong winds, man, welcome to the sticks. Where the fans go hard until the end through a loss or a win. Yeah, brother, that's the stick. 70,000 faithful got it rocking. With Owens White connected on that sprint right option. Head to toe, red and gold. You see, I'm not a pride. When John Taylor took that punt return for 95, we went crazy. Dominated the 80s. See, I was just a baby. But Pops would always take me to the stick to see the greats. Dean, Haley, and Craig. Ronnie, Brian, and Brent. Candlestick represent. Suck. All the memories make my head spin. When Michael Carter picked six on the Redskins. And Steve took that victory lap after he just sent the Cowgirls crying back to Texas. We know it's old, we know it's cold. But this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever facing, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah, this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up. All my diehards know what's up. My season ticket holder standing proud. And back surgery just couldn't keep my tanner down. Chill. See, I was caught up in the moment when I heard Joe Starkey yelling. Watching Young get away from the Vikings. The comebacks on the Saints and the Giants. Hitting Pittsburgh right in the mouth. On Monday night, the lights went out. Divisional round with Green Bay when Cap took off on them all. That pack of linebackers still looking for the ball. You see, we all witnessed greatness when Jerry broke the touchdown record on the Raiders. When Hurst turned it up and got ghost. And Alex hit Vernon on the post. It might be old, it might be cold, but I left my heart here, cause this is home. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever facing, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know what's up. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever facing, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know what's up.
This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. This is home, this is home. Candlestick Park, this is home. This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, all my diehards know what's up. This is home.
See, I was just caught up in the moment when I heard Joe Starkey screaming, Owens, Owens, Owens.
Wasn't that a great game? All right, so super duper producer extraordinaire went to go take a break. Quitter. So another little interesting note from yesterday was that Akilah Weatherspoon started over Rashard Robinson. Rashard Robinson only played something like 13 snaps, something like that. It says it right here. Akilah Weatherspoon got in his first round. He played 16. Robinson only played, 16. I'm sorry, it wasn't 13. It was 16 snaps. Leon Hall, he's played with Dante Johnson. Dante Johnson got something like 50-something, I believe. 53. Plays the special teams, too. It seems like everybody's playing special teams. That seems to be the thing for everybody. They're definitely a... Definitely, anybody can play special teams type of team. But tell me what y'all thought. We're going to go ahead and get in some text messages. From the 321. What up, 321? How you doing? LA in the house. How's it going? Great. How about yourself, bruh? Love the show. Was wondering what kind of moves we could possibly see with the injuries to the offensive line. Well, obviously, they're going to bring in some offensive linemen. So look to see. If you're going to put Jimmy Ward on injury reserve, so that'll free up a roster spot. Then you figure they're not going to put Thelma Thomas on injured reserve. I would hope not. That'd be very highly frustrating. So, cut Leon Hall. If Kewan Williams, you have it. Well, Kewan Williams wasn't put on the injury reserve. So they cut Leon Hall to put. I think that'd probably be the most sensible thing. Cut Leon Hall to bring in the other tackle personnel. Whether that be, I don't know. I'm not even going to pretend that I know who's available. Because I have no clue. So, we shall see. But I would suspect that they would bring some offensive line depth in. Dusable? I like Dusable. He played nice yesterday. I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, besides him and Elvis Dumerville, I believe they're the only ones to get multiple sacks in one game this year by one player. I don't think anybody else on the team has two sacks or more in one game. And I'm hearing people say that the defensive line is still the strength of our team. We need to quit fooling ourselves. We hope, but it's way too I shouldn't say we need to stop kidding ourselves, because honestly, let's be realistic, it is. Okay, sure. Fine. I can see that, but
it's been way too inconsistent to – basically, I think it's a problem if our defensive line is the greatest unit on our team because they've been playing so inconsistent. I mean, there'll be times where it looks awesome and great, and then there's times where they're non-existent. And you're wondering, you know, you're just seeing all the players that we could have picked or signed besides these players, and you're just haunted by it. Also, I want to touch kind of for a subject for myself. For those of you that have me personally on Facebook, you saw me post something. You saw me posted that I was disappointed in the faithful. And I am. How are you just going to walk into a season or a game and just assuming we're going to lose? Like, oh, might as well not even watch it because we're just going to lose. No, bro. That is not faithful. That is unacceptable. There are ways we can win every game. That's why I was getting so irritated in the beginning of yesterday's game because I'm like, the defense is playing amazing. The defense kept us into that game. It was a 3-0 game in going into the 2-minute, or no, 10-0 game going into the 2-minute warning. The defense had played amazing. After it throws a pick six, we go in 17-0. Like, that was just frustrating because I felt like, you know, a lot of people will sit there and look and say, you know, it was never really close in the 33-10 game. No, it was for a good amount of time. I remember looking at some people that I was watching the game with or listening. And I was like, you know, let's just say the games, I just threw out a number. I don't even remember what number it was. I guarantee you it wasn't 33, though. But I said the fact that maybe we couldn't take a 10-0 early lead that we could easily gotten, that was very frustrating. And the worst thing I think is that it's going to be hard to make evaluations, or at least on high-end players, because they're hurt. You know, we're going to hear the excuse for Reuben Foster or Solomon Thomas. Oh, they were hurt last year, so they didn't get that really many reps. So it's just very frustrating. I remember talking to a super duper producer extraordinaire when we drafted Reuben Foster. I remember one of the things I said is that, hey, look, the bugaboo I think is going to be out of his career is can he stay healthy? And lo and behold, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. That's the frustrating part about it.
Mr. I don't want any more shit for RV.
So, I found out my phone wasn't on speaker, so I'm hoping that it recorded most of that first 15, 30 minutes. So, what do you think? Would you really think the Niners are on the right path?
Yes, but they need to stay away from, they need to stay healthy and prevent injuries.
I know you got more snacks. Well, yeah, I agree with you, but any team can say that. My thing about it is...
No,
there was no meatballs in there.
Liar.
I swear to God. I know you got more snacks.
Michelle?
No.
Don't be for snacks. I need to take my drink.
Don't say that. Your medication?
Yes. One of those.
And a horse pill.
Yep.
God, how can you take that? This is a huge pill. So, super duper producer extraordinaire will tell you, getting drunk and tripping over train tracks is not a good thing.
Ain't no joke. Don't
it's not fun, is it?
No. Because you're going to have to take an little itty bitty pill and a big horse one.
Not fun?
No.
Ooh-wee. It's not going to be fun coming out.
Oh, coming out? No problem, bud.
Okay, yeah, let's change the subject. I shouldn't even have said that.
So, I
think they've got the right play caller in line with Kyle Shanahan. You know, it'll never happen. They're not going to, you know, fire him as head coach but keep him as offensive coordinator. That's not going to happen. You know.
But he needs
just,
help on the offensive coordinator part.
I think that, I think he's the perfect offensive coordinator. I think.
But he's got too much work on his hands.
I think that maybe over time, you know, that might happen. Maybe not even next year, but maybe by year 3, 4. Maybe he does get an offensive coordinator. I think once some stability comes into the organization, and when I'm saying by stability, I mean, you know, you've got a quarterback that's maybe in the second, third, maybe even fourth year, you know, of the system that can, you know, and so the main question, what we really got to ask is, I feel that we're on different standards than other franchises. Sorry, you know what, say whatever you want, 20 years, whatever. I just feel that we're on different standards than other franchises.
Because we're both.
So,
we're
the question is, I'm not interested in, like, to me, you know, as much as Harbaugh really was successful, and everything like that. You know what? He wasn't a great coach.
But he's been one of the best.
You know, and, well, of course. Nobody's arguing that. You know, I would say he's somewhere in between. Well, I don't know, because Seifert won at a higher rate than Bill Walsh. So I'd say he's somewhere, I want to say, like, Steve Mariucci-ish, kind of that area of coach. We're not necessarily a great coach. Not necessarily, like, you know, you really got to ask yourself. Steve Mariucci won a lot of games. You know, we were pretty successful under his tenure as coach.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
he helped us through that rebuild and, you know, those first early years of that rebuild and everything and got us through the, you know, Jeff Garcia and the T.O. era and all that. But really, if you look at it, I feel that his tenure as coach failed. He didn't win a championship.
Harbaugh?
No.
Mariucci. Well, who was the GM at the time? A lot has to do with the GM.
I know Dwight Clark was a GM for a little bit. I don't know if it was under Mariucci.
Nope.
I know Bill Walsh was a little bit. And I know that, I believe Tony Donahue.
It all depends on who was GM and who they were drafting at the time.
But I'm not denying that, but I'm just, okay, so then fine. Let's just take it as an overall and say regime, okay? the Steve Mariucci, Terry Donahue, Bill Walsh, you know, that the whole generation regime was a failure. Didn't win a championship. The Harbaugh Bulky regime was a failure. Didn't win a championship.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, did we have awesome years? Was it dope as hell? Was it dope as fuck seeing my team in the NFC Championship 3 straight games and winning one? Yeah, fuck yeah, that shit was awesome. You know what I'm saying? But probably some of the great, you know, greatest 3 years of my life, really, that I can remember like that. You know, that was awesome. It was great watching my team and being disappointed at the end of the year, and you know, watching my team in the playoffs and just all those type of things. You know what I'm saying? Watching my team win majority of games in a year, you know? Yeah, all those things were awesome. But it was a failure, you know, we didn't win a championship. And so, you know, I think we'll win some games with Kyle Shanahan. Eventually, yeah, I think so. Eventually I feel that he'll get the type of players that he wants and needs to run his system, and that, you know, he's proven. I don't think that he went from last year being one of the, you know, the offensive coordinator and play caller of one of the most prolific offenses in NFL history to all of a sudden a couple months later just not knowing shit about offensive football. And this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I do believe we'll put up points and we'll win some games. But just because we're going to put up points and win these games doesn't mean we'll win a championship. And that's the thing that I question. Not saying I don't think it's possible. I'm not even saying that it's not necessarily. I'm not even going to go as far as just saying it's not likely. It is possible, you know. And I would say it's probably more likely than not likely. But I'm.
Bring
them. Let me get snacks.
Bring your snacks next time.
Okay. Let me get snacks.
No, because you're eating my snacks.
Let me get snacks.
You're eating mine.
Let me get a snack.
I don't have any more that you're going to want because you keep going to eat mine.
All right, let me get some of that turkey.
It's still good.
Yeah, it's still good because I've been eating it. So, I mean, that's the thing. No, I saw it fall down. It's more... I wonder, that's the only thing I'm curious about. You know, just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're a great GM. You know what I'm saying? Just because you're a great offensive coordinator doesn't mean you're a great head coach. Right?
We'll see.
Yeah. That we will. But do you remember what I told you yesterday when I said, I'm telling you, if they haven't made the playoffs by year three, you know what I'm saying? They'll go into year four like, hey, it's make it or break it. Oh, yes. Before I forget, a very important thing that came up today. I was going to say this earlier. This woman, I won't say what I normally would have said, or I've been saying, okay, I'll just say this woman. I posted on a group on Facebook and asked if it was okay for her to buy her daughter a Vernon Davis Redskins jersey. And then proceeded to try to say that her daughter was faithful.
To the Niners or to Vernon Davis?
Mary, thank you. Thank you. That's right. Well, that's your favorite player. Well, then
you're faithful to the player and not the team.
I said, that's okay. You can be a Vernon Davis fan. That's okay, but then don't come tell me you're not a faithful man. You know, you're not a Niner fan, you're a Vernon Davis fan. She loves the Niners. Okay. Then you don't want another team's jersey. She's nine. I don't care if she's two. Let me get a sip of your soda. That really bothered me. Like, that pretty much, it was the day that you know, got kicked out of the room. You know, I had that whole situation. Like, that really, like, pretty much, like, led up to the events that happened later. That was the start of basically ruining my day.
I'm a NASA fan, but I'm not going to go out and buy a Joe Montana Kansas City.
Thank you. I said, look, I talked my mama into it, right? And I said, Mama, please tell these people. No, I had a wall in Fresno. Mind you, this is my smallest wall. But still, I had a wall in Fresno that was from top to bottom, nothing but Jerry Rice stuff. I'm talking about figurines, posters, just whatever. My Jerry Rice pennant that I got from my first Niner game I ever went to, just his biography, not auto, but biography. That he did. You know, just all sorts of stuff that, you know, was strictly Jerry related, right?
But it wasn't with the Raiders.
And, like, you know, I was like, I never at one point in time ever anticipated, not one point in time, thought about getting a Jerry Raider jersey or anything of that magnitude. Like, it just, it, now, okay, fine, you know, I was, what, probably 14, 15, you know, maybe 16, so I was a little older, but still, I mean, I think, like, I told her, I was like, look, I have an almost 8-year-old, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm willing to bet my money in my bank account that I'm pretty sure that, you know, she would, if you try to get, she would try to get her to wear a Kaepernick whatever, that she would tell you no, that it's not Niners. Like, I'm pretty confident in that. Maybe, okay, the Kaepernick thing might be a little different, but the whole, you know, this is a Redskins thing or this is a this team, you know, it's not Niners. I'm pretty confident that once my daughter realized, hey, that's not Niners, that's another team, I'm pretty confident that she would be like, no, you're smoking rocks, you know. Or else I failed, I have failed. But that thing really bugged me. I hope, did it bug y'all? I mean, how do y'all feel about that? Because, like, I told her, I said, maybe it's just the Bay in me, and it's just, like, kind of been just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, you know, people will say, you know, we're soft fans. It's not like the East Coast where they'll really get on their teams and things like that. But, you know, I would say as far as the sports team being a part of our culture and just, you know, part of who people are, you feel me? And part of their identity, I'd put our fans up above anybody else. You know what I'm saying? When you have people who say, look, you know, it's not a game, it's a lifestyle, bro, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Repping the Niners is a lifestyle, bro. Like, you know, tattoos, you know, middle of August, you know, middle of May, still rocking the hoodie. You know, like, it's part of us. Just culture, you know what I'm saying? Walking around, you, any time of year, you walk around seeing somebody in a Shark City or,
Niners,
you know,
even February.
Or something like that, you know, Giants hat. You know, that's real big. You know, people rocking the Giants hats. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a generation. No, because, I mean, she seemed to be around my age. I don't think she was. I would say she's, like, younger than 28. You know what I'm saying? She's no older than maybe 33. So. Somewhere around generally what somebody would consider my generation, my age group, whatever you want to call it. People I would have gone to high school with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I always consider my generation. Could I have gone to high school with you? Yeah? Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? If not, then we're really not in the same age range. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, that just, it really bugs me. Like, because I felt better about it as the weeks carried on more, because I felt better about it as the weeks carried on more because, you know, people have pretty much backed up what I was saying, and people generally say the same thing, which is what I said, which is, why not just buy her a Vernon Davis Niner jersey then?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, that's the thing I said, is I was just like, why not buy her a Vernon Davis Niner jersey? She already has one. Well, then there you go. Like, what's the issue? You know what I'm saying? I still wear my cap jersey. Or no, I haven't worn my jersey yet this year. But that's because it hasn't been cold enough to rock a hoodie under it. But I've rocked my cap shirt this year. What? Rocked my Patrick Willis shirt. I've rocked my Jerry shirt like twice, two, three times this year. What else? That's as far as I really got as far as player stuff, per se. You know, I mean, if I still had my Bryant Young jersey, I'd rock it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just, that really disappointed me. And not necessarily that she felt that way. I mean, hey, one person's opinion is one person's opinion. I mean, whatever. But there's so many people backed her up. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at her and I'm like, so, because I was like, the fact that you didn't even want to listen to what I said, like, or hear anything about no, don't get it for her. So that tells me your mind was pretty much already made up. So probably what it was, you felt a little guilty or dirty doing it, and you just needed other people's approval to make you feel better. You know what I'm saying? That's what you always hear. People don't, I think it was on Facebook, or it was some type of TV show or something I was watching while I had the room. And it said something like, basically, like, people don't want information anymore. They just want to be told that they're right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to hear, like, I remember when I went on the, and I feel okay talking about this on the show because this is a show on the network. So, you know, I'm cross-promoting right now. But I went on Political BS Live, and we, you know, was talking about the whole cap situation, and I said, what a lot of people don't understand is, I said, Malcolm X met with the leader of the Klan. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, still two different opinions and all that type of thing, but you know what they meant? They meant on the ground of, hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? You know, hey, we both hate each other, but maybe there is some way we can, you know, really, even though they hate each other, they both wanted pretty much the same thing. You know, the KKK wanted blacks the hell out, and, you know, black people just wanted to be somewhere where they could be left the hell alone. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, let's see if we could work on some mutual ground where we don't have to be around each other. Now, obviously, nothing became of it. You know what I'm saying? Probably wasn't a very productive meeting. But the fact is, I think that's a problem with a lot of people nowadays. They don't want to hear, they don't want information, they just want to be, or they don't want people's opinion, they just want to be told they're right.
Yeah.
So you just want to tell that it's okay to teach your kid to betray their team. So either that, or it's really not that big of a deal with you, which if it's really not that big of a deal to you, then, you know, you've got to understand that, you know, being 0-8, that's not fun, bro.
Oh.
This shit sucks. Like, I want to cry right now. You know what I'm saying? But I stick by my team. I'm loyal. You know, that's why I'm emotional when the losses first happen and stuff. But by, like, today, maybe even tomorrow, I'm pretty much over it. And the end of the day is because I've learned to self-cope because I've learned to say, you know what? Is this loss going to make me not love this team? Like, if we lose next week, right? Is that loss going to make me stop being a Niner fan? Am I mysteriously going to say, you know what? I've been a Niner fan damn near my whole entire life. I don't remember a time I wasn't a Niner fan. All the bullshit that I've been through with this team and everything, everything I've been through. You know what? This is the loss that makes me say, you know, fine, I'm done. That's it. I give up. No, that's not going to happen.
So then at the end of the day, it's like, bruh, it is what it is. It sucks, bruh. I don't want to be 0-9. I don't want to be 0-anything. You know what I'm saying? Except 0-0. You feel me? So I don't want to be 0-anything, bruh. Trust me. But I've learned to cope with it that way, but for me, it's like I'm stuck by this. I mean, you've got to realize, bro. So, I mean, what I really watch, you know, so you watch every game where, you know, you have intimate details.
Is it recording?
Yes. You have intimate details of the fact that I watched every game or listened to every game last year, correct?
Yes.
Went to four of them. Went to several of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then this year, you know, obviously I'm listening or watched every game this year. I've been to two. Well, one preseason, one regular season, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, figure out my 24 games over the last 2 years. I've watched 24 games. They're literally 2-22. Over the last 24 games.
Not good.
Did you realize that? Like, break that down. That literally means that pretty much you could make an argument over the last 15 plus 8 is 23. Over the last 23 games, they're 1-22. They've really lost, what, 9 in a row, if you think about it. Do I think we're going to go 0-16? No. I think it'll happen probably like Christmas Eve or something like that. If, you know, it doesn't happen, you know, that's when I would think it would end. I would think it would end at home or Christmas Eve. Or like the last game. One of those two. If it doesn't end, if we go 0-14, you know, it's like, okay, bro, we're either going to be 1-14 or, you know, and then whatever happens the last game happens the last game. So, what really matters is that, that just bugged me. So you just be able to hop on the bandwagon and things like that. Like that, and like that dude who was wearing that Nana sweatshirt by the freeway. You feel me?
Yeah.
That just made me mad. Why? Because it's like you're rocking that brand, you're not even a fan. Like it's not easy being a Nana fan, really. I mean, it is, but it's not. You know what I'm saying? It is because, you know, we got the history. But you know what? If you ain't seen it, like, if you're really, I think about it, people who were born in 1994 are 23. So think about it. That's very easy. You're a 23-year-old Niner fan. Or imagine if you're 22. So you really haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? The team has literally not won a championship in your lifetime. Probably a little hard for you to be a Niner fan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for somebody just to, I don't know, like, why would you do that, bro? Like, why would you think it's okay to rock another team's fucking jersey? I'm not understanding this. Like, if you want to say, is it okay to still support him as a player? Sure. You know what I'm saying? You can have, you know, you could be like, hey, you know, VD, as long as you're not playing with the Niners, I hope you do good. You feel me?
Yeah.
But, like, I'm just, I hope, you know, to my loyal listeners, I hope you hear the sincerity of my voice, how dumbstruck I am by this. Because my facial expression is clearly saying it. Y'all just can't obviously see my facial expression. Like super duper producer extraordinaire can. But I'm literally really dumbstruck on how you could say, yes, I am faithful to my team, but I'm going to rock another team's jersey. At any age. What, 9 years old? So that means 1995 for me. I promise you, bruh. By 1995, you never saw anything on me besides Niners gear. I promise you that. I guarantee you. Because I guarantee you, I know by a fact, by the time I was at least 5, I think I was like 6, but I know by the time I was at least 9, I had my Jerry jersey already.
because I believe my mama said I was like 7 or 6 when I got it. So I promise you, you saw nothing but, you know, my teams. I wasn't, oh, I like the colors. You know what I'm saying? That's how little kids pick their teams. And people, your kids have the right to make a choice. Nah, cuz, you got to pass down the tradition, bro. You know what I'm saying? Can't let your kids support another team besides yours. Like, you failed then. You feel me?
Yep.
Don't you feel that?
Yeah.
I would feel a failure. Would you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's about that time again. So, 661 says, nice show. Keep up the good work. Thanks, 661. So before we get out of here, we're going to go ahead and say, before we get up out of here, I would like to remind everyone to check out my blog, Keys to Victory, coming out on Friday. The website's in the show description. Also, please like Niner Faithful Radio on Facebook. Just search Niner Faithful Radio. Or if you have Twitter, search us at Niner Faithful R. Or you can just put at Niner Faithful R. If you would like to advertise your business on Niner Faithful Radio, email me at ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And I shall see y'all next week. Same bad time. Same bat channel. Peace, love, and happiness. Go Niners. Alvin, why don't you go ahead and take it away, my dear friend.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Niners Faithful Radio. Please like us on Facebook.